This is message M096, the Seal of God. A word given by Cecil J. DeSille in the early 1970s.
And I feel, brethren, we should spend a little time and consecrate everything we have to God. Everything, put it in the hand of God. Let us consecrate it to God now, because we're going to lose everything we have. It happened in Russia, it happened in Romania, it happened in Poland, it happened in Cuba, and it will happen here. Praise God. I've seen it happening right now in many countries we thought it couldn't happen. British ruled countries like in Africa, people were secure. They were buying up land, they were doing business for years. As a matter of fact, some of the people who were kicked out of that African country, they were born there. They were born there, and they were kicked out of those countries because they had a different color. You understand? And these are signs of things to come. No matter what the reason is, when a people is persecuted, amen, they are persecuted. It doesn't have to be a good reason. We are not going to be persecuted as Christians, most of us. We are going to be persecuted as fanatics. And we're outers, you know. And if you don't mind, so we will be sorcerers. They will call us all manner of names in order to persecute us. Our goods will be confiscated. We will be persecuted. I've seen it happen once in this country. We never knew it would happen, but it did happen in this country. If you will remember, during the war, every person of Japanese descent, though some of them were born in this country, they were imprisoned and their goods were confiscated. And up to now, some of them are still fighting to get back their goods. Some of what was confiscated. Many people were innocent.
Yeah.
Amen. We see innocent people in places like Vietnam tonight. There are some people in North Vietnam as innocent and as Christian as you who are sitting right here tonight. Our brethren in Christ Jesus, they are being persecuted from all sides.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They are being bombed. They are being struck. They are being persecuted by their own. And they are just living on the mercies of God. Brother, don't let anybody deceive you. I believe the tribulation has started and it's coming across the world and it's going to hit America with a bang. Hallelujah. Amen. Forgive me being so explicit. Praise God. Let us bow our heads and let us consecrate ourselves to God and all that we have and all that we own and all that we ever will be. Let us put it on the altar, that little boy, that little girl we love so much. Hallelujah. Whatever we have, our cars, our homes, everything, Lord God, lead us. Whatever you want us to do, this we will do. Lord God, if you say give it up now, we'll give it up. If you say turn our backs upon it, we'll turn our backs upon it. But Lord God, take our hearts off the things of the world, I pray, Lord. And put our hearts on thee, O God Almighty. Hey! Hallelujah! We offer thee an offering of consecration. Lord God, touch the ears with the blood, and touch the lips with the blood, and touch the thumbs with the blood, and the toes of the feet with the blood,
yes,
even as you did to your priests, Lord God.
Yes.
Let our souls be touched with the blood of the consecration tonight.
Lord.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah.
spoken unto thee from time to time. Yea, but I say unto thee that thou must press forward now, yea, as thou hast never pressed before. For yea, thou hast reached the heights to which thou hast never reached before. And yea, if thou shalt diligently seek the face of the Lord thy God, yea, shall I not bring thee forth into that which thy heart desires? Yea, but I say unto thee, if thou shalt lag behind, thou shalt find thyself wanting. But I say unto thee, my people, yea, I am calling thee, yea, as I love thee, yea, and as I want thee to march forward, yea, as one by thee. Yea, but I say unto thee, yield thyself now unto the Lord thy God.
Hallelujah. 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 God is speaking to us tonight, brethren, and I want to tell you a vision that I had in 1970. Before that, I will tell you something. This morning, while I was there meditating after I had got up, Brother Bill came to me in a vision, and he said to me, Cecil, he said, God has made a revelation to my heart. And I said, tell me what it is. He said, last night, God told me that I was a Pentecostal. And I said, is that right? And he said, yes, I'm a Pentecostal. Don't you remember that song we used to sing, Pentecostals, Pentecostals, follow the Holy Ghost? I don't remember that song, but this is what he said to me in the vision. And I just got up laughing. I had to call Mavis and tell her what I just heard. And praise be to God. I want to tell you this vision, 1970. I calculated to be around April. I was sitting in the room, 10 o'clock in the morning, working outside. The Lord said, go inside. I put on the tools, went inside, sat down, and suddenly a man came into the room. And there was the impulse to look up to see who it was. For I saw his hand, and he pushed a paper into my face like Brother Moore sitting there. He pushed the paper right into my face like this, and I had my head down. But I looked and saw the paper written from top line here right down to the bottom in black ink, and it was a white sheet of paper. And I opened my eyes to see what it was, trying to read, couldn't read one letter on the paper. And he pulled it back. He said, don't worry with that, it's the past. And he pushed another piece with his right hand into my face, and I tried to read again. But it was a blank sheet of paper with just two lines written at the top, the very top. And he said, this is the tribulation. And I looked up to see who it was. He was gone. Brethren, I concluded from that vision. Now, it's not good to translate your own vision. If somebody can correct me, thank God for you, because I need it. But I concluded from that vision that God was saying to me that two lines had already been written in the Great Tribulation in April 1970. I am a calculating person, and I began to calculate. And again, God didn't tell me, but I calculated that then the tribulation is 7 years. And then 1973 would be the end of the first half of the tribulation, wherein God said he would shorten the time for the elect's sake. That's why we're not feeling any too much pressure. But after 1973, anything can happen. That's how I feel. I mean, now remember, I told you what God told me, and I told you what I think. Now it's for you to hear from God what He thinks. Amen. I also had many confirmations of this. I've met many people who have the same vision at the same time. And I believe it's going to be. That's what I believe. That this is the time. 1970 would be then our last year of freedom with the gospel, and then things would begin to tighten up. Things are supposed to get very bad because the beast and the false prophet would be installed, and they'll have to reveal themselves to us, not to the carnal mind. To the carnal mind they will be great, but to us we will see who the beast and the false prophet really are. Some of us think we know already, but then we will know a little more. That's how I feel about it. In view of this, I believe that the prophecies and the weeping and the spirit that we feel here now, this is what this spirit is saying to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to go too much further in that because we are going into something else. And bless God, if you will abide with me tonight, God will just help us to give you the word as quickly as possible. Praise God. I want to talk to you about the seal of the living God. Hallelujah. There is a seal that God is sealing His church with at this time. And you must see to it that you get the seal of the living God. For this seal is for a purpose. Amen. Mavis, would you care to draw for me on the board? If you don't care to, I could ask her. Eh? The ark, and it doesn't matter how. Praise God. You see, now, the first seal that God sealed on the earth was the first time that the seal was going to save human lives. And this seal was the seal that He put on the ark, the bottom of the ark, by Noah. And this seal came from the bosom of the earth. I want you to be with me even as you look. The seal, draw those boards on the ark, may. And yes. And that seal was pitch and tar. Instead of reading all this and going through the Bible, I will just say it so that it will be easier for you. This first seal was pitch and tar. Now, the ark had three stories. The bottom story was God the Father. The second story with the door was God the Son. And the third story was God the Holy Ghost. Now, the part that had the seal of the living God was God the Father, the bottom. The bottom that was going to save the whole ark. Now, that ark could sealed with pitch and tar. That ark could not be sealed before time. For if Noah had sealed it 1 year before the time when it should be sealed, those brothers who are used to having boats will know that a seal on a boat left in the sun without water would only mean that that boat would not be able to hold when the time comes for it to float. The sun would crack that seal. All right, I'll put it back. crack him. The sun would crack that seal, and that boat would not be able to hold water. But the ark had to be sealed at a special time. I want you to see that. Amen. There is a time of sealing. God had to call to Noah and say, "No, brother Noah, seal the ark." And when God told brother Noah to seal the ark, Noah knew that this is it.
Praise
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I want to direct you to the 120. That is not a mistaken figure. Neither is it a figure of chance. 120 is 3 times 40. And 40 is the number every time in the scripture which shows the end of man, hallelujah, and the beginning of God. When man comes to his end in tribulation, it is 40. And 43 times, the first time anything God does, divine order, number one, number two is greater, and number three is greater. The superlative. God deals in the superlative. God is a God of trees.
Yes, he is.
Trees. Three heavens. And in the three heavens there are three heavens. And in the trees there are trees. And in everything that God makes is a tripartite being.
Yes.
Man is three, spirit, soul, and body. And your soul is divided in three, your spirit in three, your body in three. And the trees are divided in threes until every atom in your body is divided in three parts.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Divine order. It's three. And so we find God making the ark in three parts, and each part of the ark represented God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The distinctive feature in God the Father is the sealing. Yes, the sealing. The seal of the living God. That's what we're talking about tonight. The distinctive feature in that is the pitcher tar which you used to seal. Now this pitcher tar came from the bosom of the earth. God could have sent it down from heaven like manna. A sticky substance could have fallen from heaven, or he could have taken it off the trees and sealed the ark. But God had to take it from the bosom of the earth, because this is God's divine plan and his order. Every seal that God seals man with comes from the earth. And I'm going to leave it there until I can explain it. Amen. The next point we see is that this seal saved the ark. The whole ark rested on the seal. And the seal saved the ark from drowning and just killing everybody. So it is the seal that is going to save you.
Praise the Lord.
And our ark. Good. If we don't have a seal, we don't have a chance.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now, the door is the distinctive feature of the second story, which represents Jesus Christ the Son. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Hallelujah. The way into the ark is by the door. Jesus Christ is the door. The tabernacle had a door.
Yes.
Amen. And entering in.
Yes.
Now, the distinctive feature of the third story, which is the Holy Ghost, is the window. What is the most peculiar window in the world ever built? For this window was not built in the side where you could look out and see the people drowning and see the flood and see the distress. But this window was turned up to heaven.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
And when you looked out through the window, all you could see is the heavens. It was an entrance for birds. You know what that means? Spiritual beings. Those who fly above the earth. The window is the emblem of the Holy Ghost. He is our window into heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. The second ark. Oh, you didn't draw that one. The second ark, three arks were in the Bible. The second ark was Moses' ark. A little basket of bulrushes, that means leaves and trash, picked up from the river. A little basket with a little boy in it. Sealed with slime from the river. The same pitch and tar bubbling up from the earth. But this time it came up in the water and they gathered it and stuck it on to this. Where is Moses? Oh, he's lying down. All right. All we can see is his head. But, amen. Praise God, he put him down. We find that this bottom story again represented God the Father. Again the seal came from the bosom of the earth. But there was a man-child in this one. And he represented both God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, going back to chapter 14 of St. John's Gospel, said, if you want to see the Father, you look at me.
Yes.
He was talking about a spirit.
Yes.
He was the perfect image and the representation of God, the Spirit, the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Nobody knew God the Son.
No.
We are just getting to know the Son.
Yes.
Now, the revelation of the Son is what is happening in these days, as our brother brought out so beautifully. He starts a message, so I'll just finish it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Jesus Christ was never revealed. Philip asked him, say, show us the Father, and it will suffice you. And suddenly a voice spoke from within him. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you have not known me? Wow. I think Philip was shocked. I think Philip was so frightened that he didn't ask him the next question, which was in line, logically in line. Because if he was then just a manifestation of the Father, where is the manifestation of the Son? That's what Philip should have asked him.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. But Brother Philip missed his opportunity. And Judas, Jesus' brother, waited for him. And as he continued to talk about the Holy Ghost, and when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall lead you into all truth, and he shall teach you. Judas tackled him. Verse 21-22. Judas said to him, his brother now, not Iscariot, he said, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world at large? He pinned him down now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to tell you how. If you love me, my Father will love you. And if my Father loves you, and you keep my commandments, he said, I and my Father will come and we will make our abode within you.
Yes.
That's how I'm going to reveal myself to you.
Amen.
And not to the world.
Yes.
Right away, Jesus preached the secret coming of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That is the secret coming of Jesus Christ. And he preached it in the chapter 14, verse 23 of St. John's Gospel. Brother John, I should say. Brother John's Gospel. Praise be to God. So we see that the representation of the Father and the Son is a man child. Moses was the first type of that man child. God called Moses and said, go down into Egypt and be God down there.
Amen.
Wasn't that what he said? Yes, sir. He says, Moses, you will be God in Egypt, and your brother, your priest, will be your priest unto this people. And so God exalted Moses. You know why? Because Moses was the humblest man that ever lived up to that time, said the Lord. Yeah. So God could take any risk with him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't get puffed up. Amen.
Amen.
He wouldn't go about kicking his heel and saying, I'm the man child. Come forth in human flesh. God knew Moses. And so God lifted Moses' horn. Do you know that in the type of the scripture, there has never been another man that could walk into the tabernacle any old time he wanted to and talk with God? You read your Bible well. There had never been another man, and in that sense, Moses was a type of the man child.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Check your Bible well. Do you know why Moses' body was contended for by the devil, and why the demon spirits quarrel with God, say he belonged to us, and you take him away from us? You have no right to do it. You know why? God wouldn't do anything unless it was absolutely legal and right. Moses was the only man who could offer a sacrifice anytime he wanted to, for his own sin and for the sins of the people. He was different from the priest. He was above the priest. And God went and told Moses the day before the exact hour when he's going to die. If you knew that, what would you do, brother? You know that you got mad and struck the rock. You know that the people bother you sometimes when you get out of order, and that you have sinned, and that you can offer a sacrifice at the moment of your dying. This is the reason. This is the thing that gave Moses the right for the angels to take his body and bury him, and for Moses to come back on the Mount of Transfiguration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When no other man could have done that. Hallelujah. In Moses' time and under Moses' circumstances. Praise God. But he was a type of something. Amen. A type of man that would have such power with God that he would represent both the Spirit God and the Word God. Let me tell you here, brethren, God has two witnesses, and they are older than any other two witnesses on earth, and that is the Spirit and the Word. And these two witnesses were with God before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And these two witnesses are what we are heading to become.
Praise God.
I won't hide it from you. We are heading to become God's two witnesses in Revelation 11. This is what God was talking about.
Praise
two olive
God.
Trees.
Hallelujah.
Two olive trees, oil trees that bring forth oil.
Hallelujah. That would be both the spirit and the word in living, walking letters.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God in our hearts.
Praise the Lord.
We thank you, Jesus. And so that's Moses' ark, but the seal saved the man child. The man who represented the seal, the man child, was saved. His life was saved and preserved by the seal of the living God. I want you to notice who made the boat. Some women. It was some women who made the boat. It was his mother and his sister who made the boat. Hallelujah. And gave him life.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's again the woman of which we are all a part. The church. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. That is giving life to this man child, so that we might come forth in the image of both the Word and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We have the third ark. Three arcs. The third ark is the Ark of the Covenant. And this Ark of the Covenant was sealed with gold inside and outside. The nature of God was the seal of this ark.
Yeah.
I want you to notice this carefully. I'm not reading the scriptures, because if I go to read the scriptures, it's going to take too long. So when I skip these scriptures, if you can just get them for yourselves, it will help us on to cover very far ground in a short space of time. And so, the seal of the living God, in its third application, which is the application of its fullness. Remember, everything three times, and the third time is the fullness.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Now the Ark of the Covenant with the seal of the living God is gold now, no longer black substance, sticky, slimy. Hallelujah. But beautiful, excellent, magnificent substance that has gone through untold process of fire. Glory to God in the heart. This is the substance that comes also from the bosom of the earth. I'll tell you soon why I'm pressing on the bosom of the earth like that. Amen. But this substance is glorious and beautiful, and it's fire resistant. Amen. Hallelujah. And this substance is called gold. This represents the nature of God himself. Hallelujah. The very nature of God. And there is nobody who can explain the nature of God to you. And that's why we preachers hide under these terms, because we can't explain them. For it would take all night to explain the nature of God to you, and yet we would not touch it, because the nature of God is more than we know of.
Yes.
At present, the bigger we get in God, the more we grow in God, the more will be revealed to us the nature of God. At present we call him love. But one day he told the brethren that he was going to tell them his name. And he began to name out the things and things and things he was. And one of the things he said he will not release the guilty. Amen. You remember that scripture? That he will not release the guilty. He was giving out his name, what he was. Now, when you see the word name in the scripture, name means nature.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't let the word name deceive you in the scripture to be the calling of a name. when we talk about the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't let anybody deceive you that by calling the name Jesus is a magic word.
No.
It is by the power of Jesus coming forth from you. That's the magic word.
Praise God.
Amen. You follow what I mean? So the name is the nature. And I'm coming back to that. That's why I'm pressing it lightly. I want you to understand that the name means the nature. Don't believe the name is just a calling of a word. The name is the nature of the person. So bless God Almighty. We see the priest. One thing more I want to say before I go and finish up with that. The priest was told by God. God said, now Moses, take Aaron and his sons. I'm speaking from Exodus chapter 28. Take Aaron and his sons and offer up an offering of consecration for Aaron and his sons. And he said, you anoint them. Take the apothecary oil, the oil that nobody else must make in Israel, but it's specially made by these special people are not appointed to make it. And said, the oil is so important that anybody else in Israel who makes an oil like this, let him be put to death. And he said, put the oil and pour it over his head. Let it run down his beard. Anoint him with the oil. Blessed be to God Almighty. Amen. And we said the oil is the Holy Ghost. But this oil is really more than just the Holy Ghost. You see. It is anointing the man with the very nature of God. Covering him over with spirit power. Amen. But he said something more than that. He said, take the same oil. Now remember, brethren, this is not cooking oil. This is not oil of olive, you know, that they use in the lamps. This is the apothecary oil. He said, take that oil. And he said, get some flour. And he said, mix the oil with the flour and make a cake. And let the priest eat the cake as his consecration. You know what he was doing? He was anointing him outside and inside.
Right.
The priest was being anointed inside. Amen. Once a year that they sprinkled frankincense upon the bread in the tabernacle. And the priest had to eat the bread with the frankincense on it. Amen. Not only burn it as a sweet smelling savor to God, but he was going to eat it and make himself the sweet smelling savor unto God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Now we come to the Ark of the Covenant, which is the final emblem of the final work which God is going to do in the final man. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
My sister's in the hospital and God is everybody in the city. And I don't want to pray
that. Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Lord God, we believe thy word.
We know, Lord.
Hallelujah. Whatsoever we ask, we shall. So then, this last ark, the ark of the covenant, the covenant that God made with us in holiness, to bring us into that land, hallelujah, to bring us into Canaan land, and that we should partake of the goodness of this land. This promise is the promise of immortality, death swallowed up in victory, the promise of the overcomer, hallelujah, And there are the three emblems of the man-child. The emblem of food, energy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. As Brother Eccles was speaking today, it brought such a pain to us. We were made to face up to the facts that we lack energy to do the job. Spirit power. Hallelujah. To do the job that we need to do. Many of us carry in our bodies marks and ailments. Hallelujah. Many slink off to the doctors. The doctors, some of them don't even believe in God. We have to go to them and submit ourselves to them. Hallelujah. We are a people that are ashamed. Hallelujah. But not for long. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For God is bringing forth energy, sufficient food to do the job, the manna, the hidden manna. Amen. And we shall eat of this hidden manna and bring life to all creation. Hallelujah. For this is the will of God for his people. Hallelujah. That we should have this manna in the golden pot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. You know, in Exodus we are told the manna was in a pot. Amen. But Paul said the golden pot when he was speaking of it in Hebrew. Because nothing in there could be in that place without being gold. Hallelujah. So then, in the golden pot. And then we have the rod of Aaron that budded. Many men say today, who are you that you should reign and rule over us? Amen. They say, who are you? Many are claiming to be the man child. Some are claiming to be Christ. Some are claiming to be this and that and the other. And many are really exalting themselves.
Yeah.
I see one fellow that people are bowing down to him and worshiping him. I think he's a guru from India, and he has millions of followers both from the United States and all over the world that are worshiping him and saying, you are the Christ. He told them, he does the same doctrine as I hear some of our brethren preach, that the ministry is the man-child, and that they must actually give them homage and worship, and they will pass it on to God. They were saying that the woman, the church, cannot contact God for herself, that she's too weak, she can't contact God. If she tried to contact Christ, she's going to fall into the hand of Satan like Eve in the garden. I heard that with my own ears. Amen. And they say that you must contact them. Well, I heard this guru boy, 14 years of age, big fella. And he said, you don't need to pray to God, you pray to me. And I will pass your prayers on to God. So he acknowledges God. But I heard that before. For in my studies of Babylon, that was what Nimrod told the people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I heard that before. Nimrod was a great high priest, and the priesthood of Egypt was the man-child, and they were the masculine, and the church was the feminine. That's way down in Egypt. It hasn't just started. Somebody thought it just started. You're joking. You better read a little more. You take up the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church, and you will notice that the Roman Church preached that doctrine of the man and the maid. The man is the priest and the pope, and the maid is the church. And to prove it, the nuns marry to the church.
Yeah.
They have a wedding ceremony, and they get a veil. And that veil is the emblem of their marriage to the church. You see, so this is not a new thing. Babylon had that long ago. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so since we have a lot of people vying for this position, God said, Aaron, bring your rod here. Everybody brought up their little piece of stick. All dry sticks. A rod is not a green stick. A rod is a dry stick.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's an emblem of authority, and you must keep it all your life. So it's dry. And everybody brought up their stick, and they put their names on it, the name of their tribe. And Aaron brought his stick and put it down on the name of his tribe. And next morning, Aaron's stick budded, brought forth fruit, and had buds ready to bring forth more fruit.
Yes.
Blessed be to God Almighty.
Yeah.
And God said, Moses, put that in the ark as an emblem to all men that I'm bringing forth a man in the earth who will have a rod that buds supernaturally. Hallelujah. Authority that brings forth life. You ask me then, Brother Dussel, how is it one scripture said that he shall rule the nations with a rod of iron? How come his rod of iron turn a rod of fruitfulness? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Well, praise God, the answer is this. The same rod that is fruitfulness to the people of God, or to the people who will submit to God, will be iron to the people who resist God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's how. You notice he said the rod of iron to whom? To the nations. And the word nations there is not a good word. It means those who fight against God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so, I'm just skimming through, you know. I don't believe, that's one whole big night's message. But I'm skimming through this in order to get to the main message.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Anytime you get tired, rise up and shout hallelujah. I'll know you are tired. Praise God. Now, the next emblem there of the man-child. The man-child has three emblems. The next emblem of the man-child is the table of the law which God gave to Moses. And he said in Isaiah, in Jeremiah 31, from 31 to 35, I will write my law in your heart and in your inward parts.
Yes.
Amen. And this is an emblem of the man child that he will rule not by external laws, but by a writing on the hearts of men. Let me just explain that just a little bit. Hallelujah to you. Wow. Don't look at your watches, brethren. Just let me explain. Amen. God told Solomon to build a temple. And Solomon, a man of great wisdom, sought God and said, God, where must I get men to build this temple? And he says, send to the king of Tyre, Hiram, and ask Hiram for a man. And Hiram had a man named Hiram, who was the son of a Jewish woman who God anointed with wisdom to work workings in gold, in silver, in wood, and in brass. And the man Hiram, by the wisdom of God, began to cut the markings of God in wood. God in you, sometimes you get a mark for doing good. Yes, sir. Don't let it touch the go through. Don't let the gold be so thin that it goes through the gold and cuts the wood. Or if it does, you see, brothers, you're going to say, well, I would never do any more good, because I do good and I get hit for it. But say, blessed be to God Almighty. I'll do more. I'll do worse of good. Amen. Like David said, I'll be more vile. I'll dance again tomorrow. And I'll be viler yet. Amen. Bless his holy name. And so, let's shut off with that and go on to the next part of this message. For that was only to explain how God had written the sealing of his people as part of the scripture. Now we go into Ezekiel chapter 9, and we see six men having a slaughter weapon in their hand. Six is the number of man. I do believe that the slaughtering and the destruction that is going to be on earth is going to be by man mostly. That the tribulation has two ways. That while man is oppressing man, God will have to make natural disasters hit the people of the world to deliver his people. Do you remember a phrase in the scripture which says the earth helped the woman?
Yeah.
Well, I believe the earth is going to help the woman by turning against her adversary. I believe that the earth is going to help the woman just like how it helped the woman in Elijah's time. When the people got too bad and too prosperous, Elijah cut their prosperity by calling down 3.5 years famine.
Yes,
no rain. And that 3.5 years represents the ministry of the man child. For 3.5 years, a famine that would come on the land to hit the people of the world who were fighting against the people of God. And some of the earthquakes are going to be directed like bullets. You hear me? In certain areas where they get too bad against God's people, you're going to have an earthquake. And it will so upset them and tear them up, they won't have time to persecute God's people. The Bible says the earth helped the woman.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, let's go on a little. Six men came. And it said when the six men came down with their slaughter weapon in their hand, that God Almighty moved from off the cherubim where he was sitting down, between the cherubim there, just putting that glory there for me, babe. Between the cherubim, he moved from there and went in the outer court.
Yes,
hallelujah. Check your Bibles again and see every time God gets in the outer court, somebody get killed. Korah, Datum, and Abiram rebelled against Moses, and God came out in the outer court, and the earthquake came and swallowed them up.
Yeah,
I want you to know that this body is the outer court of God's temple. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And God is saying that at this time of judgment, God is going to come out in the outer court. Glory to God Almighty. As you read today, I won't go over it, that fire will come out of his mouth. This morning it was beautiful. The word came forth to show us that that man, Jesus, the image of Jesus standing there with his hair as white as wool and his eyes like a flame of fire. That's the church, the body of Christ come together at last, the head, Jesus, and the body. And fire was coming out of his mouth to slay his enemies. Praise be to God Almighty. See, God came in the outer court. Six men with the slaughter weapon in their hand, and they were going for to slaughter. But a seventh man said, hold on. Don't slaughter anybody until we have sealed the servant of God in their forehead.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They were sealed where? In their hand, not in their right hand. In their forehead. Okay, turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Hallelujah. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we, one angel, said we, have sealed the servant of our God in their forehead. I bet you see the message. But let's go back over. I'm going to interpret these for you.
Praise the Lord.
In the Garden of Eden, when Adam was put out of the Garden of Eden, God put a cherubim with a flaming sword that pointed four ways, and Adam could not re-enter the garden except how? The Bible didn't say he couldn't go back. He had to go through the flaming sword. Hallelujah. When John the Baptist began to preach, he said, there is one coming after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He said, I baptize you with water, but this one is going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and what else? Fire! Hallelujah. For breath about. Hallelujah. Fire is the instrument of change.
Yes, amen.
Fire changes the atom, or changes the velocity of the atom of everybody upon which it comes in contact. It increases the velocity and changes the form and the structure.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everybody upon which it comes in contact. Fire is God's instrument of change.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Now, that Adam, I'm glad for that message today, brother. That with the putting on of the coat. Amen. Adam, therefore, is about to go back through the garden. He must pass through the flaming sword.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
The flaming sword of God.
Yes.
The word of God of flaming fire.
Amen.
He's got to be burnt and purified in the four areas of his soul. Now let me take you back to Revelation chapter 7. The four angels, therefore, standing on the four corners of the earth, could not be speaking of the physical, natural, terra firma earth outside there. Because that earth outside there has not got four corners. The only earth that has four corners is your soul. Your soul realm is not round. It has four corners, and God called the four corners four beast natures. In Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 6, Isaiah 10, Revelation 4, we find a picture of man's soul being four beasts. And without any contradiction, I'm telling you, if you don't receive it, pray about it. For the same God that tell me will tell you. The four beast natures that we have in us are the four areas open to demon spirit which we have within our souls. In the natural man, it is occupied by four beast natures. These four beast natures are going to bring havoc in earth. Messengers of death, angels, cherubim, anything you want to call them. The nature of the mind, you want to draw that from a day. The nature of the mind is the nature of an eagle. Soaring, getting off, moving into other realms. The nature of the emotions is the nature of the lion. Wicked, terrible, tearing, killer. The nature of the will is the nature of an ox, stubborn. In Revelation, the ox was changed to a calf. When God took charge of the nature, it suffered a reverse. And he came from a big old ox to a sucking calf.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be to God Almighty. A metamorphosis backwards. Amen. Amen. He reversed into a calf. The nature of the man is the desire. And these four angels of destruction stand in the earth, ready to pour forth destruction upon earth. If you doubt it, let me tell you something, brother. The mind of Einstein was great. It was one of the greatest minds that ever walked the earth. But it flew off the handle and invented the atomic bomb without his intending to do it. Demon spirit took charge and made him invent the greatest weapon of destruction that man had ever. But you see, if man didn't invent that, the Bible, which speaks of the destruction, wouldn't be able to come to pass, because for the first time in the history of humanity, in the arsenals of our country, lies enough destruction to destroy the world 44 times over.
Yes.
Here I begin to think of the sons of God making another offering to God. And the Lord begin to show me a little deeper into the thing that I had been speaking to you about last night, whereas that the people of God should consider the things they own in this life and begin at this moment tonight to consecrate everything you own, from your grandchildren to your great-grandchildren, right back to your house and land, to your motor cars.
Everything.
We should begin to consecrate them, lay them down before God. And I tell you what I saw as I sat there. I saw the time coming very shortly when they are going to take away some of these things from us. That we will have money in the bank and yet we can't buy ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the controls that are coming, the controls are now beyond money. I want you to notice what I'm talking about. Controls are coming in our lives that are beyond money. Controls in the business world, controls in our naturalized so that you can have money and yet cannot do certain things because you are under certain controls.
Praise God, yes.
I read in the Bible, and I always thought of it, how impossible it was for any government to prevent anybody from buying or selling. For if I have money in my pocket and you have goods and I want the money and the government say we mustn't buy or sell, I could meet you around the corner and get your goods and you take my money and nobody could know how it went. But as things been going on, it seems that the nations are being forced into a corner.
That's right.
I studied economics, and one of the things I learned is supply and demand. That supply and demand controls your very lives. That when you go as a housewife to the store to buy, you cannot buy too much of one good, no matter how low they drop that good. They will say, so-and-so is on sale today, buy up as much as you can. And you cannot dare buy more than a certain amount, and they know it, because your money is limited. And you have got to buy as much of that as you can buy and buy others. You have to make what we call an economic choice. Amen. And so we find that the world is coming into a corner, that there's only one hope for the financial world today, and it's to abolish money completely.
Very good.
You know that?
Yes.
Watch it. The dollar is in trouble, the pound is in trouble, the franc is in trouble, the mark is in trouble, and every money all over the world is coming into the same jam, and the only hope for them and for these businesses, the businessmen going to have a boom when they abolish money. For whatever they sell, no more credit will be borne by them, but all the credit will go into that computer, and you will be credited for the thing that the man buys from you on credit, and immediately your account will show that credit in that computer, and the credit will be centralized. Now, when credit is centralized, power is centralized also.
Yes.
Yeah.
The man who holds the credit will have power over the individual lives of the people, and you will lose your freedom.
Yes.
Amen. You're going to lose your freedom because they will begin to dictate to you why you should buy or sell. Let us take a hypothetical case. Let's say I have $300 in the central bank value because I only have it on a little card. I got my card in my pocket. But I was told not to preach this doctrine. I was told that it is against the laws of health. It is destroying the mental health of the United States, and they don't want anybody in this country preaching that doctrine.
Hear it?
The one we're preaching. I was given a list of the things I am to preach. Amen. And I was told that I'm not to preach anything else. And let me say that I continue to follow the hope.
This is message M096, the seal of God.